Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
From the Motorsport Network, I'm Tom Howard, and you're listening to a special edition of Gravel Notes. Today, we have Rallying Royalty joining myself and my co-driver for this pod, Luke Barry. Today's guest has won 13 WRC rallies, scored 52 WRC podiums, and is most familiar for piloting the famous blue and yellow Subaru Impreza. It's none other than 2003 world champion, Petter Solberg. Welcome to the podcast, gents. How are we? How are we doing? Well?
Well, I heard that you have a co-driver. I don't know how good you are to drive, Tom. But
good stuff.
That's a good point. Nobody's ever questioned that, actually. But he didn't question my abilities either, so that's a good thing. I'll take that as a compliment.
We will do a test one day, and we'll find out, I think, you know.
Absolutely. Well, firstly, thanks for joining us, Petter. We love having drivers and come on the show, and it's our second world champion that we've had. We just had Callie Rovanperä, so we've had a good couple of guests lately, so this is exciting for us. But we wanted to start by asking a few sort of fun questions that we do with all of our guests, and I guess our first one for you is, what is your first rally memory?
It's a very strange question, because I have so many memories. And as soon as you mention it now, I got a lot through my... But I must say that the most spectacular one, it was before I was in the World Championship, was with the oil can on the roof in Rally Finnskog with the Toyota Celica 205, where we lost the power steering and we had 25 liters on the roof with a strap around, with a pipe. Down to the reservoir with the adjustable that I was hanging out of the car, adjusting the level. And I won the rally and the Norwegian championship because of that. So, I think that's I don't think it'll work these days. But the thing is, the 205 Celica was so low in the roof. So when I have the strap around the can and through the roof inside, I have to sit like this to drive, basically, you know. So it's incredible memory, but it was a good idea that time.
Yeah, that sounds like it. Sounds very unusual.
Am I right in saying there was pictures of this came up on your social media recently, Petter, as well? It seems to ring a right bell with me. I can picture the scene already. And maybe it's because it's that unique and so different that maybe it's quite easy to picture. I don't know. But that sounds incredible.
There's a lot of pictures and film around it, you know? So, you know, it's something that is... I remember somebody wanted to put protest on me. It was actually my brother, but anyway. but all the other drivers in the that I was competing with said stopped him, because, you know, this was so fantastic, you know, to even finish the rally in style like that, you know. So a little bit risky, but it worked out.
I guess imagine heading now, just going away to complain about it. That's fantastic. Petter, you're obviously somebody that I think most people, we all know you well. I think most people listening will know much about what you've done in your career and lots about you, because you're a big personality. But is there something that maybe the world doesn't know? Is there a fun fact about yourself that you can maybe share with the listeners?
Well, fun fact, I have fun every day. You know, I try to enjoy every day. But, you know, I've seen over the years that having a character is not only positive sometimes, strong personalities or things to go forward. You know, I've seen that as a, it's not just positive for myself. And when you have your own team, for example, it's positive. But from other point of view, it can be, you know, people can be scared or so. But for sure, you know, you are the person you are, basically, when you are doing whatever you do, basically. And yeah, I'm pushing, and it's not for everyone, for sure. But if you want to be a part of it, and when you do things, yeah, it's normally shown very good success, basically.
You know, I don't know if this is fact, go on.
That was not a fun fact, yeah, but...
That was a more serious fact.
That was a more serious fact, but fun fact, you know, if you talk to the guys around me or people, you know, it's full action all the time. So when I commit on something, for example, outside here now, it's a deadline, and I can tell you that the deadline will be reached and whatever it takes, and you have to push the limit. So I think that's a fun fact, that it's always some action around whatever we do, basically.
Yeah. I don't know if this is the right place to bring this up, but what's interesting, what you said there to me, Petr, is I actually had a chat with Oliver a few weeks ago for a different piece of work, and he actually said something really very similar, that I think nowadays it can be quite difficult, just because the way the world is, and I guess social media age and all this kind of stuff, it can actually be quite difficult to want to fully express yourself, which sounds maybe strange, because arguably there's more opportunities for everybody to kind of have a voice than ever before, but is people waiting to tear you down if you do something wrong so quickly? So I guess it is quite a difficult thing now, maybe for the younger generation of drivers to have to think about that, whereas I guess in your day there was a bit less sort of online pressure, should we call it.
It was a little bit cowboy style, to be honest with you, you know. And it's for sure it's more difficult now, and the thing is that social media now is so powerful and so important at the same time. So for Oliver's point of view, for sure, you know, this is very important. And yeah, he is very active and very big on social media. He have good people around him to help him. So mine is also pretty big, you know, if you compare with the World Championship, even if I'm not driving. So it's incredible. But, you know, it's always, we try to share a little bit of every direction of whatever we do. And it doesn't have to be perfect, you know, nobody's perfect. So I think the reality is the things that people want to see, highs, lows. But on the other hand, you know, for Oliver's point of view, again, is it's maybe not the easiest for, you know, for a sport that the father have done what he have done and to come further, you know, because... But again, people have to understand that when Oliver is driving, he has nothing with me to do, basically. He is by himself doing his own thing. And me and Pernilla, well, me now, for example, I'm there just to be a part of your son's success and enjoy a rally, meet people like you, have a coffee and have fun with it, you know. And the thing is, yeah, it's some people have told me, from other management around, you know, Petr, is maybe not good idea that you are, you know, on the rallies even, and let Oliver do it by himself. But I was thinking, how the hell can you say something like that? You know, Oliver is doing him, I'm not driving, you know, he's driving himself. We are there to enjoy the sport that we love so much. So, you know, at the same time, you know, again, maybe people are jealous or scared, so through the social media and stuff, when you see the happiness, the love that we have when Oliver is doing well, like in Sweden last weekend, it is like it is, you know, and you can't hug and do it with your manager like you do with your parents, you know, so, you know, it's it's different. So, yeah, you get a little bit background story for a little bit everything around with how, you know, maybe a social media or how powerful it can be, or scary, or make jealousy, or whatever, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. No, you make a very, very interesting point. I will now move on to our next fun question, which is, if you were to run a WRC team, Petr, and you had the choice to pick two drivers and a car from history, what would you pick?
I would have taken, for sure, Rowan Perrin OGR, 100%. They are the best out there. OGR and Rovenpera is the best outside now. Yeah, Tanaka is also on the level, but you know, I think these two would be the guys. If you want to win the championship and work together as a team, you know, I think this too, yeah.
And what car would you get run them in from history? If you could pick any car, what would you pick?
No, I think it's a lot of different cars and good cars from history. I don't know how far back you were thinking, you know?
Oh, you can pick anything. You can have whatever you like.
For sure. Okay, I can say Subaru for sure, but Exara for sure is it's an unbelievable car in the chassis on tarmac. I think it's absolutely the best car I ever driven of all the details that you need in the car, basically. Yeah. Very impressive.
So would you say the Zara is your favorite rally car then? Is that fair to say?
For brake feel, driver's feel, balance, and on tarmac, you have to remember that, for example, the C4 is also a very good car. It's never lost a tarmac rally ever, you know, when it came out. So, but when you drive them, it's so easy to drive that it's scary. It's on rails, you know. Yeah,
fantastic.
Is there, I know this is, we're in the fun segment question, but I just can't help myself. Because I know, Petter, I think obviously many people will associate you with Subaru, but you did have the time driving those cars, obviously, for your own team. But I guess, particularly in the Zara's case, it was kind of after that car was at the forefront of WRC. So I guess, did driving that car almost help you understand why Loeb and the Citroen were just so dominant in that time you were at Subaru?
Honestly, The Subaru from 2001 to 2004 was also, I must say, really nice car to drive, easy car to drive. You know, as I said, you know, if you continue with the 2004 car, for example, the half of the end of the season, with the one change, you would have won the World Championship many times, because it was in a similar way, you know, easy to drive also, to be honest with you. But at the end of the day, you know, it's so many details that has to be right, you know, when you're driving and all changes.
Well, apologies that I've made this sort of fun section a little bit longer with my extra questions, but the final one, Petter, we just want to quickly put to you is, what is the coolest thing about being Petter Solberg? What's, I guess, the best thing about your life?
Well, it is actually very easy. I keep a simple life. Happy every day. Enjoy. If I have an issue, I fix it straight away. I never go to bed without any. Everything is fixed, and it's a plan. So, it sounds maybe very easy, but it's maybe a little bit complicated. But for me, in my head, with some ADHD over my ears that I didn't know about, but of course I understood that I had it, and I never see a problem, to be honest with you. And it's crazy, but I it's true. As Pernilla or Oliver or whatever, you know, I fix everything. Whatever you need, and I fix.
Oh, Mr. Fixer.
That is actually the best thing about my life. It's, and I never go a long time to think or worry or anything. You know, I keep on going, and then that's it. And then the next thing. So it's good.
Yeah, so we want to just talk about obviously your most famous part of your career, and certainly for us in the UK, you became a household name in 2003 when you won the World Championship in Wales. Like, I just want to sort of take you back to that period. Obviously, last year it was 20 years ago that you did that. For us, myself and Luke, it's a massive moment in our lives in terms of rally fans. Like, we were watching that, and it sort of mesmerized us. But what does it feel like when like that happens? Like, that changed your life that day. What does that feel like?
No, I think my life changed completely when I went with Ford, the first contract, you know. That's where everything happened. And then everything changed completely when I won my first race in 2002. And then in a different level in 2003. So But the thing is, I just love to drive. You know, this was the main thing all the time, you know, and keep on going and have a team that is, you know, really fantastic to travel around with around the world. And I think this thing, you know, I put in a lot of work. You know, the fitness was very high level. The human performance side in ProDrive and Subaru was incredible. That was the most professional, you know, you can even think about. I don't think any team have it even now on that level. Because the drivers are so important to take care of, to have the program, because it's an investment for the teams. So they always have to be well, never sick, and stuff like that. So I think this time was, I mean, very special, you know. So the whole time there, from the first contract, my whole life changed. And not as a person, but it's just the lifestyle.
Well, do you know what's interesting? I don't know if Tom wants to be as equally as bold as I am about to be and share, I guess, the level of fandom that we had for you better. But I'm from Scotland, and I was kind of a little bit, McRae was world champion before I was already born, so I think I kind of missed that boom. Yeah. But you were always, not just me, my entire family, we were Petter Solberg fans. The first memory I have of watching a rally was, I think it was the live sort of TV broadcast of that last stage when you won the championship, and it was just the biggest thing for all of us because we love Subarus. You just had this massive abundance of energy, and I think so many people just resonated with that. You were this massive, as we're talking about before, this massive character. Tom sort of touched on it earlier, but I guess I don't know if maybe having Phil Mills obviously helped this as well, but it felt like you were really, really, really well supported in the UK in particular. It's almost like you were one of our own, as well as you were a Scandinavian. You had a great relationship with the UK, didn't you, throughout your career?
Yeah, UK was always special. You know, it's true, like you say, it's incredible over all the years. You know, I think a lot because yeah, ProDrive and winning the RGB a few years, and then having Phil Mills, and the thing is, you just have to be yourself, you know, not try to be too smart or clever. You know, it's happiness when you do well, and say that a podium is always very respectful, even if you want to win every race. But the podium, you know, you should be so happy and enjoy. And then you have the lows, but then you see the lows also on me that time. You know, it's not so much between, basically, you know. But when I'm happy, I was very happy. So, it's great memories. I remember even Autosport, Motoring News, and everything. It was big following all the time. And that time also, it was also big on TV in all of England. So I think it was actually the broadcast that time also was fantastic. How they made it, to be honest with you. So it made, you know, TV makes stars. Even if you went to airports all around the world, you know, he was signing autographs and recognition in the airport, airline. And so I think you see how the sport is promoted. That's when you see when you're driving, flying around everywhere in the world, in England or New Zealand or airports. That's where you see the impact of a TV, media, and general, you know.
Yeah, you know, I think it's difficult for me personally to have too much opinion on this, because when I watched it, I was a youngster. So in my head, I think the WRC could have been like almost the worst thing ever, but I loved it because I was so, it's all nostalgia, isn't it? But I think you're right. And I can see Tom's eyes light up when you said that about the TV broadcast, because him and I talk about it quite a lot. And some of the features that I guess we miss maybe from that time, there was just something about the way the sport was. I mean, there was, to be fair, particularly in this period, there were so many great drivers. I think it was actually a really interesting changing of the guard when you won your championship, because the likes of you, Loeb, Marco Martin were kind of like the young guys, and you still had McRae, Sainz, and Burns all still there. So it was like a massive time, I think, for rallying in general. But yeah, it's really interesting to hear how sort of popular you were just everywhere you went.
Because I think it was the huge competition, you know, you never know who could win. And you have to remember, it was, you know, some of the rallies, it was 22 drivers. You know, we had many, many car manufacturers. It was a big push. And you see the, when it's, when me and Oliver look at a lot of old films, you know, when you see all the you know, Seat parked on the beside the Peugeot, you have the Citroen, you have the Ford, Subaru, you know, all of these cars, Mitsubishi, you know, it was incredible. So, but I think, you know, you can't find any better sport, you know, okay, we are living in our own world in this sport anyway, but the sport in general, it's incredible. It's tough, it's rough, it's extreme. It just need, you know, like the changes is coming now for the future. I think it's actually looking very good. Get more stability, a lot of planning before. A lot of things are looking really nice. And I think everyone, you know, okay, we always think back, you know, everything was better before. But at the same time, you know, the world is changing. It's been in a very tricky situation where the technology is going. So I think if they get the stability right now for a future technologies, it can open up a lot of different things for the future. And I think this has been maybe a little bit minus for especially us in WRC, Formula One. They have early stability with things and stick to it. And I think it's all about this working very, very close together, the promoter, FIA, and the teams, as a team properly to go forward and discuss with the new manufacturers to which direction should go. So, but I see your point, you know, it's you need characters and you need big fights that you have to, you know, really push hard the whole rally, because the victory will be so much sweeter, and then you will see even more happiness, because sometimes now you can actually judge who is first, second, and third, and normally it should not be like that, you know. It's it was never like that early days.
Absolutely.
Burns won the world championship without winning a rally in the season. That is incredible. And then you understand that the stability has to be right and the speed has to be right, you know. So, and Colin also could have been world champion a couple more times if he was a little bit more Burns driving sometimes, you know. But it was his style, and I think it's respectable, and he still is remembered for that. And Richard Burns is incredible memories for his stability and consistency, working hard, and so luckily not everybody is the same, you know.
Absolutely. And I guess as Luke has shared his own fan experience, I better follow that up by saying that yes, certainly I had some Petter Solberg stickers on my school books when I was in my teens. Certainly, yeah, you're a big part of my childhood growing up. So yeah, it's absolute pleasure to talk to you. It's pretty cool.
When you talk about school books in Norway in the school in mathematics, it's a Subaru and Petter Solberg in front of the school book for the whole school, basically. Oh, really? In the mathematics. And I was the worst one in mathematics, so maybe that was the maybe that was the one that is a good example for kids that if you're gonna go somewhere, you have to be even better in school than I was, you know.
That's incredible. Well, I guess the main reason we got you on the podcast is because you were back rallying last weekend. A 5-year gap since you'd done your last one, which was Wales Rally GB. You were in Royal Rally Scandinavia. How was it? What was it like? Was it good to get back on the stages?
I think it was really good fun. The preparation with the car and everything beforehand was great. I was a little bit busy with work, so I was not really, you know, doing enough. I should have tested much more before, you know. And then I had planned a 2 days test, but then I came closer, but it was only allowed with one in the ERC. So I ended up with 60K testing in before the race. And for sure, it was in full rain. So it was not the perfect. And I must say, to be honest with you, that if you're going to be good, you have to drive a lot. You have to test a lot. And you have to keep the continuity. And I think this was maybe the best example of how much you have to put in. And even if you are a winner from before, you can't just step in. It may be in rallycross and hill climb, you can do it, no problem. But rallying, no chance. And if I did, you know, like in Rally GB in 2019, I did rallycross and a lot of testing and planning and all the time driving. But so it's different. But now it was nothing for 5 years. That is a tough one. And it was maybe, after what everybody say, it's one of the toughest rallies of difficulty of stages. Fast, very narrow, and very technical. So all the Finns say is much easier than much more difficult than in Finland rally, because there is fast and big jumps. Here is, yeah. And to trust the pace notes, I must say my balls was not so big, you know, as before. Yeah. But anyway, it's well, a great experience. And, you know, we had a lot of tier sponsors and Oliver won. It was incredible to get that victory. And then we had a dinner with 50 people at night with friends, family and sponsors. So, you know, the whole thing was just great, to be honest with you. And I just enjoyed every minute of it.
You're obviously at the rally last year as well. I actually was there as well, because I remember it was a surreal moment for me, because I had a quick chat with you and Pernilla in your rallycross motorhome, and I just thought, how on earth did I get here with my life? But it was, you obviously that year, the first year of that particular event, you were all part of the Legends event. It was a massive family gathering. Obviously you upped the ante this year by competing yourself. What are you possibly going to be able to do next year? Now you've had two very sort of big occasions the last couple of years. Have you got any big plans for next year's Royal Rally of Scandinavia, or is that a little bit too early to be asking that question?
Yeah, Oliver pushed me like hell now, you know, and because on the test we did the same speed and he was so expecting a lot, but like a test road is a test road, you know, and he wanted to come back. Oh, now we have to work better, Daddy, you know, we have to look at the onboard, we have to, you know, to work. And I said, you focus on yours and I do a lot of things else now. And then and we'll see what the future brings, but and no plans yet with anything. You know, I'm trying to get my house outside ready first now, so I can have my midsummer on the terrace tomorrow. That's the first plan now. So I work every night to 11 o'clock, and my back is a little bit sore now. And yeah.
Well, I guess just quickly, to journey back to something you kind of touched upon there, Petter, but I think it's worth making quite a point of this, because as you said, I think for you it was difficult because you weren't driving as much. But I guess what this maybe showed, if nothing else, is just how high the level is now between all those guys at the front of ERC. I'm sure I saw somewhere that Oliver even said that actually at points this was even tougher than a WRC2 event in terms of the competition at the front. Like, there was a lot of good guys all on incredible pace last weekend.
The pace was incredible. I looked on some onboard and I mean, bloody hell, you know, it's for sure it's a good level in the World Championship. It's not that, but it's so many here. I think it was, I don't know how many it was, but it was a lot of them. So, and you know, it's a good class for sure. And yeah, most people say it was maybe the hardest rally that they had over the year. And well, that's great. I think it's good. You know, even the Swedish TV here showed you know, all the stages live in Norway. It was a full press, newspapers, TV. They came over. So, you know, it's all about finding ideas to activate, to get the interest, you know. So I just did my help to try to promote the sport again and get some more activity, and it for sure it will help everyone to create this stuff, you know. And we need different angles on every rally, to be honest with you, to create this buzz and get the national press with you properly, not just the local press. So it's always a strategy, to be honest with you. So I just follow a feeling sometimes, and normally it works well.
What would you say? Obviously, you've now done this rally, and you started your career sort of in the mid 90s. What's the biggest change that you've seen over the years when you're doing these events?
It's the competition, especially in this R5 class. You know, it's a lot of cars. Many more are fast now. Comparing maybe before when you have just few, and now it's many. Plus the social media thing, you know, it's taking over more and more in the service park to, you know, have the angle, you know, it's getting just more extreme. I think this is the two things that maybe is the biggest difference. I think also the TV for the ERC has also been very good, you know, and more helicopters is good, more drones are good, you know, and just try and test different things. I think this is the thing that is maybe important, you know. It's clear strategy, you know, how things work, you know. So
you said you don't have any plans sort of for next year, but would you like to have another rally outing at some point? Is that on your sort of list of wish items? Or
yeah, for sure, we'll see, you know. We have always a lot of offers to do different things, you know, in many countries. But the thing is, it's Oliver is driving. He's by himself, and Skoda is taking good care of him. Okay, here this rally now was we rented the car and then did it by ourselves with the team. It was a little bit different rally, but to drive at the same time when Oliver is doing something, you know, it has to be some different type of events, basically, you know.
So it's gonna say obviously it was kind of billed as a Oliver versus Petter fight, but obviously Oliver won the rally quite convincingly as well. I want to sort of talk to you about how proud you are of Oliver and certainly the way he's going this season. He's had a really strong start, obviously this victory last weekend, but also in WRC2, he's right in the title fight. You must be pretty proud of what he's doing.
Yeah, in Kenya, he had 3 punctures the first day. We found out why. So, well, the team found out why, and after that, he didn't have anything. So that could have been a good victory. And now in Portugal, yeah. For sure that he had full control the whole rally. It was more of a thing in life of experience that, you know, that when so much happening from accident with Caleb in front of him with people, and it takes concentration in some way. But this is the same as I having employees, you know, it's something goes wrong, it will never happen again. So sometimes you can't, it's no shortcut in rallying. You have to go your steps. It doesn't matter how good you are in a young age. You need, things will happen. And now that's in the book. It will never happen again. And he's training hard. And Elliot is fantastic car driver, unbelievable guy. The friendship is good. So everything is it's really nice around the whole package, you know, and very professional. So it's all about having this respect for each other with team and co-driver and everything. The whole package just needs to be nice. And then you have to want it a lot. But for sure, this rally did here, you know. It's like people said last year, oh, this is your local rally, Oliver, you know, you should be fat. Yeah, never done a stage in this rally. Ever. So it's as new for him as it is for anybody. And the roads around our house here is completely different compared with down in Karlstad. So I think this is maybe more the good thing, that the pace notes are good and they are working with details. And he's listening to the co-driver all the time because he don't look at so much on board as many other people. So I think the pace notes are the most important thing, and the co-driver is still the most important thing in the car that is have the same level as the driver, for example, you know. But it's still a long season. But for sure, this rally was a very good preparation for you had the parts like Poland, for example, where it was a little bit ruts and stuff, where you have to improve the car a little bit in the ruts. But should be good for Finland and good for Latvia. So same thing again, you know, he needs to drive. This is the thing. He needs to drive much as possible, all the rallies he can. And even if you're good, you still need to drive a lot.
I was going to say, you're pretty much the the rally family, if we sort of do look at it from the modern day, obviously Oliver is driving, you've driven, Pernilla's also driven, but now she's working as the president of the WRC Commission. Like, you are so involved in the whole sport. What's it like to be like this sort of massive rally family that's involved in every aspect of the sport?
Well, I think the thing is, it's very important here that Pernilla is doing this for the rallying, you know, the love of rallying. She's not mixing anything privately or when she's working with it. This is pure to get rallying really stable and good. She went to school as an engineer. You know, she had done rallying. She had been co-driver. She had run a team in rally and rally girls. So the experience she is sitting with, and been to every rally every year to see all the angles you can. So for sure, she doesn't go in there just to do it. You know, she wants to that it's actually happening something and get the stability, and that is important. As long as it's not, you know, people think again, you know, like a jealousy that is destroying anything for Oliver point of view, that it's some that people are scared again, you know, that she is working there. So, but Oliver is doing his stuff. But if it should be like that something that can destroy for Oliver's career, for example, then she will stop straight away. But she's doing this with her heart. I haven't seen her for many weeks now. She is working day and night, communication, going for meetings. So I hope people are positive with it. She's using her experience, and but you know, people have always a comment, you know, but we hope it will be good for everyone, basically, you know.
I have to say, I can only speak, I guess, personally on the matter, but I think it's really nice to see that she's now got a role that I think she's always deserved, in that I think unless you were in the service park, I think you probably wouldn't be aware of how much she was doing and how helpful she is to so many people around. So I guess it's nice in a sense to see that formalize into something. So yeah, I think she was a really obvious candidate for that job, to be honest, because of, as you say, how much she's done and how effective she is at doing everything. She's like you, you're a hardworking bunch, aren't you? And there's no stone left unturned at any point. So yeah, I think it's really nice to see her in that role and hopefully making a difference to the future of our sport.
Yeah, for sure. She's pushing hard, you know. She loves this, you know. Her dream was to be a part of running a team or being this part of FIA. Because in motorsport generally, or in rallying or in Formula One, you need the same people all the time, every rally, so you keep on with the communication. You can't jump a rally and then you take a meeting 3 months later. It's a consistent work of improvement of communication for media that's on the race, strategy on the media for the next race, technology. You know, it has to be ongoing. The same people or group that has to only focus on WRC, that's on every rally, and you can't waste any time at all. You know, it's. And the people who's working can't work with anything else of other sports, basically. You know, it has to be all in. And this is the only thing to get the stability and respect. And I think this is the key.
We've just had, obviously, the announcement of the regulations being stable for Rally 1 and Rally 2 for the next 2 years. And obviously, we've got new regulations coming in 2027. What's your thoughts on that? I think everyone agrees it's the right move to stay as we are for the next 2 years. I mean, I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Well, everybody have an opinion. You know, nobody will be 100% agree anyway, you know. End of the day, that the manufacturers that's involved and the meeting with other manufacturers they have, what is the best for them? Do you know, this is priority number one. How can we get more cars in, and how can we get the stability of the technology of the future that brings other manufacturers also into the sport, or bigger sponsors, you know, bigger companies like NASCAR, you know, so you can get more private teams and stuff. That's where you have to have the rules early enough, stability for long term, and sign with teams for a longer term than it's been, for example, you know, and early enough. So for me, the main thing is that the technology or the manufacturers are agree with everything. If they agree how it will be, we, you know, people have to find a solution that makes them stay, that is important for the marketing for them of whatever hybrid type technology it will be, for example, in the future. But then it's the stability who is the key and sustainability, basically, you know.
I couldn't agree more. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. And we've got through our sort of serious segment of the podcast, and now we're going to move on to a couple of little quizzes we've got lined up for you to finish off. And I'm going to hand you over to Luke, who's going to do our first little quiz. So let's see what you've got lined up for Petter.
Yeah, we try and do something a bit unique with our guests and try and tailor it towards the guests we had. So when we had Cowley on, we sort of quizzed him on various stage end quotes that he had, because I think he's become quite good at that. With you, I think it's obviously maybe harder in that sense, because obviously you're not an active competitor as much as you were around last weekend. So what we try to do is a bit of a know your teammates segment, we're calling it. So we've got five questions, each about one of your teammates from at some point in your WRC career. What I'm going to do is give you three clues. If you can get it on the first clue, that's 3 points. Second clue, 2 points. The last one, hopefully, you should be getting at that point for.
So you ask the question, and I will answer which teammate it is.
Correct. That's exactly it. There you go. So that means I explained that well. So that's a good sign. It's a good start.
No, but I'm a simple person. I need a very simple question, you know?
Okay. Well, our first teammate and the first clue for this teammate is this driver won their first ever WRC rally driving a Ford Escort Cosworth. Now, if you don't know, you can obviously wait for the next clue. But if you do know, feel free to shout.
Tommy Macken.
Very good.
Very good.
I'm now worried that this is going to be far too easy for you coming in that quickly. But
That makes me look good, so that's good.
But yeah, Tommy, of course, I think it's quite an unusual status. Again, maybe sort of lesser rally sort of fans maybe don't remember is that he's a driver that obviously drove for Mitsubishi for most of his career, but did, of course, have a one-off outing in a Ford, which he won. So our second teammate, and the first clue is this driver won more WRC rallies than any of your other teammates. I can give you the second clue.
Yeah, I know, but it must be. It must be Carlos Sainz or Tommy Macken again. You know, one more rallies.
Do you know that's you said a name there? It means my question might be flawed. That could be an issue. So. I'm happy to award this second clue for 3 points because I have made an oversight in my questioning, which is not a great look for the quizmaster. But the second clue was had Scottish and Welsh co-drivers in their career.
And Nicky Grist.
Yeah. So, yeah, the answer is Colin McRae. I'd totally forgotten that you were teammates with Carlos. So I may have made a massive mistake there. So I'm more than happy to correct that with another 3 points in the end. Because you mentioned it correctly, I completely forgot. So that's what happens. You see, we don't do enough of your research. So there's a lesson for everybody. But good thing is we have the Oracle to correct me. The third teammate now, and I'm now praying that the rest of this is all correct. They were your teammate for more seasons than any other driver. So you were with them for more seasons than you were with anybody else.
I feel like we need to get some suspense music.
Yeah, the thing is, I'm thinking, you know, I think most of them have been there almost 2 years.
I can tell you how many seasons it was, if that helps.
I know, but it must maybe. Tommy Macken was 2 years, Richard Burns was 2 years, well, maybe Chris Atkinson or?
He's done it again.
Correct.
It's impressive. Chris Atkinson was, I think, 4 seasons. I think it must have been that you two were teammates. I can't remember if he ever joined at the end of 04. I don't think he did.
I think it was three.
Okay.
It was four, I think, yeah.
Oh, there we go. But yeah, Chris Atkinson, absolutely correct once again. So our fourth of five teammates in this quiz was only your teammate for one season.
Saracen.
That would be correct. but not in this case, unfortunately. So we'll go to the second clue, which is still active in the WRC today, but not as a driver.
Sordo then. Sorry, what did you say?
So I'll read the two clues back to back. Is the first one was only your teammate for one season. The second is still active in WRC today, but not as a driver.
Jari-Matti then.
Yeah, there you go. Jari-Matti Latvala is correct. Yeah. Of course, you were teammates in your final full season as a professional in the WRC with Ford. So the last one, number five, again, still praying all these are correct. Now I've lost massive confidence in my research. This driver has won 10 rounds of the WRC throughout their career.
Richard Burnson.
Very good. Very good.
Excellent work.
I'm generally impressed at that. And that's that's impressive depth of knowledge. There we go. But now it's time to see if my my answering skills are any better than my asking skills, I think, Tom.
Yeah, so we tend to...
It can't be under questions.
We tend to... Luke has quite a wide knowledge of rallying. He's sort of the Jari-Matti Latvala of this podcast in terms of his knowledge. So we'd like to test him in a quiz called Barry's Brain. And this will be a quiz on your career, Petter. So we're going to see how much Luke knows about your career. And we'll start with a first question, which is, where did Petter score his first outright WRC win?
Okay. And this was mentioned, wasn't it, earlier? So if I didn't know, I could have used my powers of listening to work it out. But that was Wales Rally GB in 2002.
You are correct. That was simple. And obviously, I made these questions before I knew we were going to have this chat. So this could be interesting. But so the second question is, what year and event did Petter make his WRC debut?
Ooh, so this one's slightly harder because I think there's banana skins here to trip up on. Because everybody probably, well, because it wasn't Safari. That was the debut in the Focus. But there was Sweden before that. In 99, so I'm going to provisionally say that, but I may be forgetting something, which I'm now scared of. But I'll say Sweden 99 and see if that's anywhere close.
You're half correct. It's Sweden, half but correct. 98.
Ah, there we go. Not bad, though.
With the 205, I was laying 10th, and I went off on the last stage, and I went on the came 16th.
Now, the third question. During Petter's top flight WRC career, how many different manufacturers of car has he driven?
Ooh, okay. Am I allowed to ask the question master a quick question for clarification?
You can ask for a clarification. Okay.
So I'll be counting Toyota in that it was a privately driven car to begin with, or is it just as manual?
It's not a manufacturer entry. It's just what type of model or make
type of car.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, so I've mentioned it. It was Toyota, it was Ford, it was obviously Subaru, there was Citroën. Are we counting WRC too?
Top flight.
Otherwise, I'd miss that. Otherwise, we could have VW. But I'll say those four. It should be Toyota, Ford, Subaru, and Citroën.
You are correct. I genuinely thought I was going to get you with the Toyota today, but because Petter brought it up at the start.
Petter, help me. I wouldn't have got that otherwise.
So
We should have started with this. We should have done.
Now, I might get you with this one. So the fourth question. What national motorsport-related competition in 1987 did a 13-year-old Petter win?
Well, this is a big question. See, what's embarrassing as well is I sort of big this up as like I'm this big Petter Solberg fan and I'm struggling, which isn't the best look for my credentials. I actually genuinely have no idea. I don't know if I'm brave enough to take a random guess or if I should just take a pass. I'm going to take a pass. I'm curious, Petter. I want you to explain this. I'm very curious about what this must be now.
So in 1987, I was the youngest Norwegian champion in radio control.
This is right. That's right up my street.
If the trophy was so big, I couldn't even lift it. and I can tell you, it was a qualification to come to this championship round. It was 82 drivers all around in Norway, and the qualification, I went four places around in Norway to qualify, and then came back home again. And my mother said, "Now it's stop. You know, you don't qualify. That's it. You know." So I called my father's friend to drive me to another place without my mother knowing, and we went there. Took free from school. She didn't know, and I won it and I qualified. But when I came to the, and my mother just, you know, got really mad, but also happy at the same time. And because I never gave up in anything. And then I came to the race, 82. I was the youngest, and I won the whole shit. It was a two-day race. And me and my brother was staying in the hotel room together because he qualified on his first race. So he stayed in the hotel room alone, and because they paid for the hotel, the organizer, we didn't have money to do it. And then after the first day, I was qualified to the second, and my brother didn't qualify, so he was looking at the pay channel, you know, a different type of pay channel, yep, in the room. And I took the radio control, took it from each other, took a toothbrush and washed it in the shower, sitting down, put it back together, and test drove it 2 o'clock in the morning. And then went to the race, and then I was leading. Engine broke. I had no money for engine. Nobody wanted me to borrow my engine. And then my parents came just on that day for as a surprise. And then they bought me an engine. I think it was €30 for the engine. Put it in, and I won the whole shit. So it's never a straightforward story, you know. It's always a lot involved, you know.
That is absolutely incredible.
That's perfect. I'm really glad you added that question in there, Tom. Otherwise, the world would never have got that answer.
I saw it because it's right up my street. That's the sort of thing I would have done when I was 13.
It's a YouTube film from the prize giving, and when I'm driving, I'm very small and try to lift the trophy, I struggle. Yeah.
Wow.
That is incredible.
There you go.
That's good.
All that shows me is I wasn't doing my life right at 13. Nothing was as exciting as that when I was that age for me, unfortunately.
It was a Tamiya. Normally I drove an associated radio control car, you know, with the slip diff and everything, you know, and we built everything ourselves. You know, this was like a Tamiya, a Big Wig, it was called. And I was really good fun because we drove inside and outside, you know, on the carpet, and we were doing wings, you know, we were doing front splitters, you know. It's so much you can do with the car, even in that, you know. So you learn that perfectionism over details is very, very important, you know.
It's funny because Lewis Hamilton did the same thing. He was a champion in radio controlled cars as well. So there must be something in this.
100%. You know, it's like I say, you know, if you play a game, you do radio control, because the technical on the radio control can, you know, a lot of things works in the same similar thing, you know. We work with damper angles, we work with springs, we have the oil dampers, and traction control on one of the last ones, system. So it's crazy technology on this, on radio controls.
I could talk about this for days because that's right up my street as a massive model car collector. But anyway, I will move on to the final question, which is a little bit different. We've tried something different here. So basically, we're going to look at your championship winning season from 2003. I've picked 5 consecutive events, not necessarily from the start of the season. And we're going to sort of work out where you finished. Now, it might sound a little bit complicated, but I'll explain. We'll start with Rally New Zealand, where you finished 3rd. Now, I want to know, did Petter finish higher, lower, or the same at the next round in Argentina?
I like this style already. I'm trying to remember already if this was, because it was a year where Argentina went terribly, wasn't it, with the car drowning out, but that might have been the year after, in 2004. So, this is a, wow. I'm going to say Well, it's his pressure. Because if I say lower, it's like I'm disrespecting Petr's skills and he's right there looking at me. But I have a feeling, I have a hunch. I have a hunch that it was lower, but it's a complete guess.
You are correct. He finished fifth in Argentina. So okay. We've got a fifth in Argentina. What yep. did he do in Cyprus? Was it better than fifth, worse than fifth, or the same?
Wow, okay. There was a rally that year that I'm
sorry,
pretty sure...
Greece next.
It's Greece rather than Cyprus.
Yeah, sorry, Greece then Cyprus. So Greece next. Did he finish better,
okay,
worse, or the same?
I think higher, because I'm pretty sure this might have been a win that weekend. There was certainly a rally that year where there was quite a big dominant win on a rough gravel rally. I have a feeling it was Greece. But again, we're kind of pumping for a guess.
You are correct, but it wasn't a victory. It was a third place finish in Greece. So you're going okay. well so far. Now, Cyprus is the next one. Did he finish better than third, worse, or the same?
Now, based on the logic I just gave, I'm convinced there was a win on a rally like this. So I'm going to say higher.
You're correct, and it was a victory. It was Cyprus. He did win it. That is incredible. I've got to take my hat off. That's impressive, Luke. That is good. Right.
I've watched too many DVDs is the problem. The season review, that year in particular, 03 and 04, I burned in my brain a little bit. I knew something was coming.
Now, Germany was after Cyprus, and how do you think he went there?
It wasn't a win. I know that, because Loeb won that rally every year for it. A long time, so by that logic, it has to be lower.
It was lower. It was an eighth place finish in Germany. So now the final of your set, Finland. What happened in Finland?
Ooh. See, eighth is quite a low bar, really, but if there was a non-finish, obviously eighth is higher. 2003 Finland. See, everyone remembers the year after. Which year was it, Petty, set the record? I don't know if I'm allowed to get outside assistance here.
2004.
Yes, that was the rally that went, yeah. Ooh, this is
I'm
tough.
I'm not sure this help I'm... is, I'm not sure if I'm approving of this help.
Sorry, referee. In the interest of not wasting too much podcast time, I'm just going to guess and I'm going to say higher.
It was correct. He finished second. You have actually done a clean sweep of the higher-lower quiz. So well done, Luke Barry. The Barry's brain mantle is still yours. So
thank you. I'll take that. And what we've learned is a much better answer of questions than asker of them. I'm still so embarrassed by that mess up with it. That was not good at all. But there we are. We'll do better next time.
Now, Oliver's got me checking in mind, do you? Oh! is it being okay?
Yeah,
very
yeah.
Good.
So.
Very good.
He's talking you up. Well, that is all we have time for today. A big thanks to Petr for joining us to indulge in some rally chat. It's been really fun. So thank you, Petr, for joining the show.
Thank you, Luke and Tom. It's been great. And what you do for motorsport also is good, and WRC. And let's just get better from here and bigger.
Thank you very much. I'd also like to say a big thanks to Luke for his ever contribution to Gravel Notes. It's been awesome this year. So thanks, Luke, for joining us.
No worries. It's been a pleasure, as always. And thanks for those kind words, Petr. Again, I'm mentioning this a lot, but little boys us thinking getting a compliment from you is very weird. So here we are. We're growing up now. We need to get over that a little bit. But yeah, thank you very much. Great to have you.
Remember to log on to Autosport and Motorsport.com to keep up to date with all the latest WRC news and analysis. Be sure to join us for another edition of Gravel Notes. Thanks for listening.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.